Thanks for listening to Benefit from the Bible. We believe the Bible is God's Word for our temporal and eternal benefit. For anyone listening on an iPhone or iPad, install the free podcast app called Overcast. Then search for Benefit from the Bible. God bless your listening. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, I know a person who created something absolutely amazing, and yet he did the creating work, completely out of nothing. What do you think? Do you believe that's true? Well, you should believe it's true because the second person of the Holy Trinity, he created the heavens and the earth, and he did so out of nothing. We believe it, praise God. But there are many people in the world that do not believe it. They have faith in something else. We have faith in what the Bible says. They have faith in what people say. So people say, we got here because 15 billion years ago, there was a big bang. And all by random chance, we're here today. I also heard this other true story. I heard there was this woman, and she had never been with a man, and she had never had any kind of a medical procedure done, and yet she ends up pregnant. It seems impossible, doesn't it? Well, according to Scripture, regarding Mary, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit came upon her, and the power of the Most High overshadowed her. I don't know exactly what all that means, but somehow, though, the Bible is saying that God was at work upon her and in her, and with God's work, she became pregnant. God wants us to believe these impossible things to be true. So what about you and me? Do we believe what is impossible? We do, but not of ourselves. We believe because God has given us the gift of faith by which we believe what seems impossible. As we go through life, as we read the Word of God, let us always know that nothing is impossible with God. So no matter what He says, no matter how impossible it seems, let us know that He can do anything, and let us be certain that all that He has promised to do, certainly He will bring it to pass. Let's get back into our text. We're in Luke chapter 1, picking up in verse 39, and at the beginning here, we see that Mary hurried to visit Elizabeth. Again, the Bible says, "In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a city of Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth." So it begins by saying, "In those days." So what days are we talking about? We are talking about the days when the angel Gabriel came to speak to her, in those days when Mary became pregnant with the very Son of God, and also in those days when she made plans to make the journey of about 100 miles to visit Elizabeth. Those are the days we're talking about. And then, why did Mary hurry? Well, Gabriel had said to Mary, going earlier now in Luke chapter 1, he said to her, "And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren." So thinking about Elizabeth, the Bible says she was old. We're not quite sure how old, but we assume that means that she was old to the point where she could no longer have a child. So think about Elizabeth for a moment. When she was younger, it was very important at that time to have a child and even many children. So you can imagine she desperately wanted a child. She tried and tried to have a child, and yet she couldn't have a child. So when she was younger, she could not have one. So now she's old. She was considered barren, unable to have children. And yet, what is Mary finding out from Gabriel? That in fact, Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant. This is amazing. Do you think Mary was doubting and saying, "I don't think that's true. I'm going to go and see for myself"? Do you think that's what she was thinking? I don't think that was the case at all. Rather, she simply wanted to see for herself. How about for each of you? Have you actually seen the Grand Canyon? Okay, some of you have. Well, for those of you who have seen it, before you saw it, when you heard about it, were you doubting the existence of the Grand Canyon until you actually went there and laid eyes on it? I don't think you were. I know from my situation, I wasn't. I heard about it for many, many years. Finally, I went to go and see it, but I wasn't doubting whether it was there or not. I just wanted to kind of see it for myself. So I think that's all that Mary was into here. She simply wanted to go visit Elizabeth and see for herself. She was not doubting. In the second part, we see that Mary and Jesus are so very blessed. Going back to our text in verse 41, it says, "And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb.'" It seems like we might call a chain reaction there. So we see three things happening in a row. So Mary spoke, the baby in the womb of Elizabeth leaped, and then Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. When it comes to Elizabeth, we know that she's about ready to say some amazing things about Mary. How could she know such things? It had to be by the Holy Spirit coming upon her and inspiring her, moving her to say these important things about Mary and about the child that she was now carrying. Regarding Mary, Elizabeth said, "Blessed are you among women." Is that true? Was she blessed among women? Certainly she was, but how is that so? Well, right after the fall into sin, God promised that a future descendant of the woman would come and he would defeat the devil and destroy the work of the devil. Actually, if you look at the Bible in a very careful way there in chapter 4, when Eve had Cain, she was even thinking that this maybe is the very savior of the world when she had Cain. Was Cain the one? No, he wasn't, but Adam and Eve understood that that Savior was coming, and they were believing God's promise, and they were looking for him to come. So think about the time passing now. So from Adam and Eve, we're going days, weeks, months, years, decades, centuries, millennia, and finally, about 4,000 years later, finally, that's when we come to what we might call the fullness of time. And now the Almighty God is looking over the face of the entire world, and God says, "I choose that woman. She will be the woman I was talking about in the Garden of Eden. She will be the woman through whom I will send my son to come into the world to take away the sin of the world." So was Mary blessed? By all means. She was chosen above every other woman in the entire world to be the one through whom the Christ would come into the world. And then regarding Jesus, Elizabeth also said to Mary, "Blessed is the fruit of your womb." So is that true? Sure. But how is that true? Well, the fruit of her womb, he is the promised one. He is the one who would be given the name Jesus. He is the one who would ultimately win the victory over sin, over death, over the devil. So let's get this straight now. So when it comes to Mary, she was chosen above every other woman in the entire world. So we should also hold her very highly because God himself held her very highly. But should we worship her? No, we worship only God. Should we pray to her? No, we pray only to God. So we want to keep that straight. But at the same time, though, we don't want to pull her down from her very important position. Was she without sin? No. The Bible says all have sinned. The only exception we have is in the book of Hebrews, where it says about Jesus, he was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he was without sin. So we take him to be the only exception, not Mary to be that exception. But yet, she was chosen above every other woman, so we hold her very highly. But what about her son? How highly do we hold him? We hold him much more highly because he is Emmanuel. He is God in human flesh. He is God with us. He is the one who came to take away the sin of the world. In the third part, we see the believers are also blessed. So we're going to see here how Elizabeth, she believed and she was blessed. Mary believed and she was blessed. You and I believe, and we are blessed. In verse 43, it says, "And why is this granted to me?" Now this is Elizabeth speaking. "And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." So what was spoken to her from the Lord? Angels are messengers. So when Gabriel came to Mary, he was simply bringing a message from the Lord God. So he's the instrument through which God brought that message to Mary. What did he say to her? He said, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Boy, that statement there by Gabriel, that is so packed with so many huge, huge, impossible things. But yet, what is God in the business of? He's in the business of doing what is impossible. So God wants us to believe, no matter how impossible it might seem. So what about Elizabeth? She believed. But who did not believe, though? Who was the husband of Elizabeth? That was Zechariah. So remember the account, Zechariah, he's in the temple, he's offering the incense, and Gabriel appears to him. And Gabriel tells him that though his wife Elizabeth is old, she's going to have a child. And that child's going to be very important. He's going to be the one that's going to prepare the way for our Lord Jesus Christ. Zechariah does not believe. So what does God say his penalty is? He's not able to speak. And he could not speak until the day that John was named. So we're probably talking approximately a year he could not speak. Can you imagine how much he must have wanted to tell his family every detail of what happened in the temple there, and yet he could not speak? It must have been such a frustrating time. But because he did not believe, God did not permit him to speak. But who did believe, though? Elizabeth believed. So because she believed, now the Holy Spirit has come upon her, and God is enabling her to speak great words of encouragement to Mary. And did you notice there in verse 43 what Elizabeth said? "And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" So she was humbled. She was amazed. Elizabeth must have felt like, hey, I'm a nobody, and here comes the very mother of my Lord carrying my Lord in her womb, and she's coming to see me. Sometimes I think those kinds of things are lost in the world today. But she took the proper attitude when Mary came to visit her. And then regarding Mary, well, Elizabeth said that Mary was blessed because what did she believe? She believed what the angel Gabriel told her. She believed all those fantastic things about the child in her womb. So even though the things seemed impossible, by God's grace, she believed. And then what did God do? God brought all those unbelievable things to pass in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. So not only does God promise the impossible, but God follows through and fulfills it every time. What about you and me? Well, we also believe, not of ourselves, we believe because God has given us that gift of faith to believe. How did God give us that gift? He gave it first in baptism. And how does God keep us believing? Did God begin the process and then we keep it up on our own? Sometimes people think that's the case, but the Bible says that before God gave it to us, that we were spiritually blind, we were spiritually dead, we were spiritual enemies of God. So God had to take action and give the gift of faith. But think about the parallel, though, between physical life and spiritual life. When it comes to physical life and physical health, God gave the life, and then to remain healthy, we have to eat. We have to move. We have to exercise. That's how we remain physically healthy. So when it comes to the spiritual part, God is the one who gave the gift of spiritual life. Now we have to eat spiritually. So we eat spiritually by getting into the Word of God every day. And then how do we exercise spiritually? That's a simple thing. We exercise spiritually by simply putting into practice the things we are reading in Scripture. These are important things to remain healthy in Jesus Christ. God has given the faith. God is the one who keeps us in the one true faith, and God does that primarily by His Spirit through His Word. As we conclude the season of Advent and draw near to the celebration of our Savior's birth, may God help us to, day by day, moment by moment, to be sorry for our sins, to be amazed that the very Son of God, that He came into the world to take away the sin of the world, and then finally, let us live moment by moment, day by day, with true joy to the world. And all God's people said, Amen. Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a church, join us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. For many other ways to benefit from the Bible, visit our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.